North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. My name is Jack Peterson, and I'm joined, as usual, by Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. We both rode our bicycles in this morning. Did you wear gloves?
I did not wear gloves.
Me neither.
But I regret that. My little commute is just from Church Street. Oh, you know, it's like five blocks, so yeah. I can tough it.
Okay. I wish I had worn gloves today. That's my main regret for the morning, but otherwise I'm doing very
because
well.
Because it's nice fall-like weather.
It is. Yeah, it's a little crisp out there. Yeah. Also biking in this morning was Eric Welch. Good morning, Eric. You're staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. And let me make sure I got all the mic levels up. And also making her first appearance on these airwaves is Carolyn Lobsinger, editor-in-chief of the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Did you bike in as well?
I did not.
Okay. That's, well, 3 for 4. That's not so bad.
I live far enough away, and it's cold out.
I got to throw out for our listeners that this is the voice behind that byline they see in the, in the Bee for how many years?
One or two.
No, more
than that. 3 or 4?
Yeah, you're I'm going to say you're the rock of the Daily Bee, Carolyn.
No, it's everyone.
Everybody contributes, but yeah.
It's everyone. We all have our role in there.
Yeah.
And we have a great staff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
But you have been there for a very long time. I mean,
thanks,
more
Jack.
More than 3 or 4 years, I would say.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel
yeah.
young and spring-like.
Well, okay. longer than the other staff writers, anyway. Yes. well, I really put my foot in my mouth there. Let's continue with our daily or our weekly news headlines. Many of these come from the Daily Bee. The big one, we'll talk, of course, about the forum that was held on October 2nd, but Ron Korn was sworn in as temporary District 3 commissioner, replacing Luke Ahmet. The Bonner County Commission is now full, and Korn is the nominee the Republican nominee to fill that seat permanently. He'll be on the ballot in November. The commission then went and filled seats on the Planning and Zoning Board. The vacancies were filled by a unanimous vote. Eric Hidden, Peter Taylor, and Eric Levitt were newly appointed to the Planning Commission, and Don Davis was reappointed. And then on the Zoning Commission, Brett Blazer and Jeffrey Polson, again, unanimously appointed by the county commissioners. The Trestle Creek hearing is on Monday, and that is the Idaho Club's proposed development of a new marina at Trestle Creek. There's a public comment period is still open, and there will be a hearing on Monday at Sandpoint High School. There was also, speaking of Sandpoint High School, it's been a very busy week in the auditorium there. There was a Proposition 1, Idaho Proposition 1 forum held there on October 3rd, just last night. And who reported on that? Was that you, Eric? Did you, or Carolyn?
We picked up something from the Carlin Press. I was in meetings all day yesterday.
Okay. I saw that there was an item in the Daily Bee. Up in Boundary County, there were two new cases reported of chronic wasting disease. from the August hunt that collected, I think, 172 deer. Of those deer, two were found to have chronic wasting disease. So that epidemic is ongoing and a closely watched story among hunters around here. And lastly, in my news column was those candidates forums that were held on October the candidate forum held on October 2nd, now in the past, and we have one upcoming again on the 15th. If you want to see what they say next time, we will be airing that again on KRFY October 15th, and you can listen to the one that aired on October 2nd by going to our website, krfy.org, and it's right there at the top of the page, the candidates forum from Wednesday night. Well, gosh, okay. What did I miss from this week's news? Well, I must have missed something.
Just an addendum on the hearing on the Trestle Creek project. It's actually 2 days. It's Monday Tuesday of next week, October 7th and 8th. It runs from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. both days at the Sandpoint High School Auditorium.
Let me see here. That Proposition 1 forum, I'm looking for the article.
That was
the article
last
here.
Night, actually.
Yeah, yeah. The Proposition 1 forum that happened last
They built
night.
It as a town hall.
Yeah, and there was three representatives of the Open Primaries Initiatives kind of fielding all questions. Did you happen to go?
I did not go, but my wife Sandy went, and she said that actually there were a good number of people there that were opposed to it, and they were there, and they were given, you know, the reasons they were opposed. So in that respect, that you heard the folks that went heard a airing of both sides, I think it's probably a positive for helping people make up their mind that might still be on the fence about it.
Should we talk about the candidates forum, the one that occurred this past Wednesday night?
Let's jump in on the naming of Corn to the county commission seat. And you're covering that now, aren't you, Carolyn?
We both of us are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, was that unexpected? Just give us a little rundown how that came about.
The Bonner County Republican Central Committee picks three people, and they rank them in the order of their preference. And Mr. Corn was picked as the top pick. And he was named by the governor in part because of that.
Mm-hmm. As their top recommendation.
Yeah.
So he just went along with the local Republican committee. And why did Luke Ahmed, that's the seat that he vacated, but why did he vacate early?
He went back into the classroom and school started, and I think he needed to be in the classroom. And so he stepped down early.
And he's a teacher in Boundary County. I believe
he did not indicate where he was, or he returned to classroom at, whether it was here in Boundary County.
Well, that's where he was.
He was previously. Whether he returned, I'm not sure where he went back to school.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And have you seen Mr. Corn in action yet? Has he changed the dynamic on the commission?
I have not. Eric covered the meeting this week.
Yeah, that's right. It was his first business meeting as a commissioner on Tuesday morning. And the commissioners had probably one of the longer agendas that that I've seen, and probably one of the longer ones that they've encountered in a while. And the trio of them were able to work through it pretty well, but it was definitely a handful for his first business meeting. But the commissioners were able to work through it pretty well.
Yeah, so right from the frying pan into the fire, so to speak. But how was the decorum there? Because that's been a big problem. I think everybody would say it's been a big problem. There's been a lot of contention at the county commission meetings. How was the decorum for that first meeting he was at?
Yeah, the commissioners explored a couple of action items to potentially kind of change the rules around the decorum, including an item to remove the standing rules that were implemented about a year ago, I want to say. And to change some of the regulations around public comments at the meeting, including the online public comments. And those motions didn't go through. They kind of died without a second in this case. But there was a lot of conversation about that. I think it's going to be something that's going to continue to be talked about.
Mm-hmm. I would, yeah, I, I would expect so. Was there much public comment there? Were there people in attendance who spoke up after or during business?
There were, yeah. And they in this meeting, which to my understanding has maybe not always been the case, the public commented before or after each individual item instead of just during a designated period,
right?
Which some people I think were pleased with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But moved along pretty quickly. The meeting wasn't. Yeah,
it did. Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of items to get through, and right. I think they made it through pretty quickly.
Yeah. By way of background, I think there was a time where the county commission seemed to be almost deadlocked by the amount of public comment that there was. You'd have hours of people. Airing their views on all manner of topics, and usually before and after every item, and the rules that were put in place were in response to kind of that situation. I don't know. It's interesting that the public comment now, having been returned, hasn't returned seemingly to that same kind of full-throated level where it'll be, hours of debate and argument with the public.
It's rather early to
it is to say that. Good. That's
we'll wait and see. I think that kind of
it is early days.
Depends on the issues that the commission is dealing with on any particular week, and sometimes there are issues that excite a lot of comment, which is certainly healthy, but it can also interfere with the course of business. So it's a line that the commissioners have to run, and I think that Ron Korn is one of the things he's been saying. He wants to really open up the meetings to public comment again. Of course, Asia Williams has been that way. And Asia Williams, we should mention, was elected as the chair of the commission, right?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She'll be the senior member there because the third commissioner, Steve Bradshaw, will be stepping down at the end of his term.
Yes.
In January. So let's do talk about that form that you guys put on. Give us the rundown, Carolyn.
We just wanted to make sure that there's as much engagement as possible with the public and giving the candidates a chance to air their views and people to hear what they have to say. And when we talked before at the previous forum that we all went on together, the more conversation, the better, the more getting it out there. And I had the opportunity to get my boss up and moderate again. And
Clint.
Clint Schroeder, right? Yeah. And he does a great job with those. Mm. But it's important to have that conversation.
And when he didn't, the crowd let him know. Because he was skipping over a couple of guys just in error, right? But everybody started saying, hey, what about the other guys? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that's what's great about this county is folks hold you honest if you make a mistake.
Yeah. And I say it was all, I was there for all but a couple of minutes of the closing statements. Mm-hmm. And it was a good, productive night. People were able to ask a lot of questions and see the candidates. And all the candidates showed up, which is always good. Let's run through what we might have heard from some of the candidates on the races. So for County Commissioner District 1, it was Brian Domke and Steve Johnson. Brian Domke, the Republican, Steve Johnson, the Democrat. Any takeaways from their race or what you heard from them?
You have two very distinct candidates.
Yeah.
And I was running around helping Alan. I think Eric was the one covering the actual forum for the paper. But you have two very distinct candidates that don't share a lot of the same viewpoints on how they would approach things.
Yeah. And this is for the District 3 County Commission seat. Eric, District 1 County Commission seat. Eric, did you have any takeaways on that one?
Yeah. One thing I'll say about that is that something that both of those candidates brought up in common was that there's a need to complete the county comprehensive plan. And, maybe their ideas about how to go about that exactly may differ, but they both saw that as a common goal to complete that plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think they both identify growth as kind of a big issue facing the county. Of course, it's kind of self-evident as well. How about the District 3 County Commission race? There we have Ron Korn, who is now, because he was named to the Bonner County Commission just this week, he's the incumbent. He's a Republican. And then Glenn LaFay, an independent there. And Glenn LaFay, I think he grew up here, went to high school here.
So. I believe so.
Yeah. I don't know if he's journeyed into politics before. I don't think he's.
Don't remember his name before.
But he spoke very well and forcefully there on issues that he thought were important. Any takeaways on that race?
Just the same. You've got Ron Korn with his distinct viewpoints, and then Mr. LaFay with the same.
Yeah, I'll say. Mr. LaFay emphasized, conservation and recreation, certainly in the area. I think he's an outdoorsman himself, fisher. And, Mr. Korn, talked about kind of preserving the rural character of some parts of the area and, the interaction between commercial businesses and rural residents and making sure that, rural residents have, the character of their area is maintained, among some other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was kind of on private property rights there, and he kind of, I thought, acknowledged in his comments that you have two sides of the coin on private property rights. If you buy a piece of property, a lot of conservatives feel like, well, you should be able to do whatever you want with your property. But we saw in Sago with the bike park there that a lot of the residents didn't want to see that bike park develop, near their neighbor in their neighborhood, and I believe he came down the side of the residents there. So there's also that flip side, that the people that already own property, they have rights too, and they shouldn't be disturbed by new folks moving in and buying property and doing things that might disturb them. That said, the bike park in Sagal falls within the zone. It didn't need to be rezoned. It didn't need it falls within the comprehensive plan. So that was a complicated one for folks to take a side on. How about the legislative District 1 races? Both of the Senate candidates were there. Jim Woodward, he's a Republican, and Dan Rose, the independent. Any takeaways from their comments?
I'll say Mr. Rose, emphasized a lot of, himself as a champion for personal liberties, certainly. And things in regard to that. Mr. Woodward talked a little bit about the state of women's health in state law, talked about, other aspects related to that.
Yeah, that one was probably slightly more confrontational between those two candidates than we saw in some of the other races. I seemed like it was interesting. I will say, I was surprised that the overall attendance was maybe 25% full in that auditorium.
There were probably about 100 people there. I was watching I'm not sure what the numbers for the radio, and we also streamed it on our website just so I can post it to our Facebook and then our YouTube channel. There were probably about 12 people watching at any one time, and I think it's been viewed about 1,500 times.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Folks just need to get out and listen to the candidates, attend the upcoming forum,
educate
themselves.
To make an informed vote. I thought, I was a little surprised. I thought the attendance was light, just folks that are there to support their particular candidate. I seem to be sitting it out, actually. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's because people were pretty far along in the election cycle now. People already kind of have their minds made up. So they think, well, I don't need to go because I know who I'm voting for, which is kind of a shame because even if you're pretty sure you know who you're voting for, the kind of the contest of the ideas at these forums is helpful in understanding all sides of these issues. At least it is for me. Okay, so we have two other legislative seats that are on the ballot. Both candidates for Idaho House seat A were there. That's Karen Mathey. She's the Democrat, and Mark Sauter, the incumbent. And you mentioned women's health. That seemed to be a kind of a keystone issue in discussions between those candidates.
I think it was a keystone issue for a lot of the races, legislative especially. And you have, Eric probably has a better viewpoint on that since he was covering it.
Yeah, I'll say that, Ms. Mathey, spoke in support of Proposition 1 and open primaries in Idaho. Mr. Sauter kind of took more the stance that it's a voters' initiative and that it's maybe something more for the voters of Idaho to determine how they want to approach that.
In House seat B, that race is between Catherine Larson, the Democrat, and Cornell Razor, the Republican. Kind of the same. Cornell is strongly opposed to Proposition 1 from their comments, and Catherine Larson quite in favor of it. Any other takeaways from their discussion?
Mr. Razor definitely emphasized, the importance, I think, of hard work and his willingness to work hard. If he's elected, that was probably what I would describe as a focal point of his presentation at that forum. And Ms. Larson kind of emphasized a lot about the importance of paying fair wages to people in critical services, including, law enforcement officers, educators, and other staff as a means to, ensure that we continue to have those services available to us.
Jack, you weren't in the room, but you were at the forum.
How did
you do that?
I was kind of on technical duty. I went down there to set it up, and I actually got to see all the candidates and then came back here and listened to it on the radio in case something went haywire and I needed to jump in, and of course nothing did because I was here.
It was a good broadcast. The sound quality was very good that I listened to.
We're getting that dialed in. We've done it there a few times now,
so folks that missed the forum can hear it on our website, krfy.org, or you have it as a Facebook live event on the Bonner County Daily Bee Facebook page.
The Cornell came out, you mentioned already, but I think he was the one, he came out most forcefully against Prop 1, I think. And Catherine Larson probably came out most forcefully for it, those two opponents in House 1B. If you're asking for general takeaway, it's nice that we have competitive races. I mean, all seats have at least two candidates in them, all of our legislative races and our county commission races, which is not always the case. We've got several independents running, a couple of independents running. I think it's safe to say that they're both opposing Republicans, but I think it's safe to say that Dan Rose is running to what would be perceived as Jim Woodward's right. And I don't think that Glenn LaFay is running to the right of Ron Korn in that county commission race.
I'd say he's running to the other side. An interesting thing on the Proposition 1 question with Dan Rose, the independent, facing Jim Woodward, the Republican. Dan Rose opposes the open primaries initiative, which is kind of funny because he's an independent. You can't, as an independent, in the primaries, there's nothing to vote on. That's one of the big motivators for the open primaries initiative is that we're very heavily Republican state, and the fact that the Republican primary is closed is shutting out an awful lot of people from voting on the races that will actually determine who's going to fill these seats. I will say that for the forum that we have coming up on October 15th, I'm going to get busy and recruit some speakers for and against Proposition 1 that aren't candidates, but people that are promoting that, and we'll put them on the stage as well, because I know there's a lot of pro and con on that proposition, and we'll maybe be able to help inform people on the Proposition 1 via the next form that way, besides just asking the candidates where they stand on it. And I will mention there are a couple other things that, you know, you can't really cover them in forms very well, but Sandpoint has a 1% local option sales tax, a measure that's going to be on the ballot, and Ponderay does too. Ponderay's had a 1% sales tax for the last 5 years, but it's expiring, so they're looking to renew it for a term of 10 years. Sandpoint's is for 25 years. It's a big one, and that's by intent, because only resort cities with populations under 10,000 can pass these local option taxes, and the anticipation is that Sandpoint's going to go over 10.
In the preliminary data in our last resource guide, Sandpoint was just over in the preliminary numbers. That's going to go up a few, go down a few, but we're right up against that window.
Yeah, and that doesn't really come into play until the actual official census in the next, which is will be what, 2030, I guess. Yeah. And at that point, Sandpoint's probably going to be over the line. Well, I mean, as you mentioned, this really is kind of already over the line, unless the legislature increases the number of the population number for the resort city tax. So,
Before we go, there is another forum coming up. Is there anything you guys wish you had heard, or any question you wish any of the candidates had been asked at that last forum? Anything that you hope to hear at the next one?
If we had had more time, we would have liked to have had the Prop 1 on it. Just timing and needing to keep the forum as close to 2 hours as we could. So I think it's great that Chris is looking to add that in. The more information we can get out to voters, the more information, the more educated they can become on the issues and on the candidates, the better, and just get out and vote.
Eric, this is your first time covering an election here in Bonner County and North Idaho, anyway. I don't know how much you, work you did around politics before this, but anything, any big picture, I don't know, thoughts, anything striking you about elections here, the way things are going, rather versus what you've seen in your work elsewhere, work or personal experience elsewhere?
Yeah, I'll say it is, you know, it's definitely my first election here, and it's outside of student government elections at college. It's my first time covering any election. So it's been fun, you know, I think to see people who are passionate about serving the community. I think seeing everybody come out to that forum on Wednesday was pretty cool, to see people have the courage to go up there and speak and make their ideas and their platforms and their policies be heard. And I just really, I think I admire anybody who's kind of willing to step up and you know, look towards serving the public.
Yeah.
Kudos to the whole bunch of them for doing that. The Daily Bee will be having election coverage.
We will.
Is there like an election handbook coming?
I don't know about that. Oh, the voter's guide, yes.
Yeah, your voter's guide, yeah. Okay. And when's that plan?
I'm working on it now. I'm not sure if it's coming out the middle of the month or more toward the end, but it's going to be in this month.
Okay. And we should mention for our listeners that KRFY is also, we're also doing a series of interviews with all the candidates in contested races, and we run those every Wednesday. We've run the races for Idaho's Senate, as well as for Legislative District 1 seat B, Catherine Larson and Cornell Razor. This coming Wednesday, we're going to be interviewing Karen Mathe, and I'm pronouncing her name wrong. What is it, Eric?
I thought it was Mathe.
Maybe.
I think that's what I heard her.
Karen Mathe and Mark Sauter. So that'll be this Wednesday. The following 2 weeks, we'll be covering the county commissioner races, and then we are going to devote one show to the 1%. I mean, sorry, the Proposition 1, as well as I'm trying to get short interviews on the two 1% local option sales taxes with, mm-hmm. with the mayors of each town for that.
Yeah.
So lots of opportunity to get.
Indeed. So at least three times that I can count, and maybe more, all of the candidates are going to be in the same room addressing the issues together with their opponents.
Side by side, yeah.
And that's three times as many as the candidates for president have done, or vice president, which is...
Well, one times three, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, that's true. And I will mention also, Sandpoint Online has the Election Central, where we have all the candidates, all the ballot measures, information on how to get registered, where to vote, links up. The state of Idaho has an excellent website as well. It's Idaho. It's voteidaho.gov, and you mm-hmm. can actually go there and you can check your registration, make sure that you're registered. You can see where your precinct is, your individual ballot, that because the ballots vary according to where you live and what taxing districts you live in. And it's a really well done website. So yeah, that's a great tool for voters as well.
Before we go, can you guys give us a preview of the news for next week? What's going to happen next week? Don't you know already? No? Okay.
It's prehistory, I guess, in a way. Okay. Right?
We could mention.
As they say, news is the first draft of history. Yes. So,
we can expect that you'll be covering a few events coming up this weekend. It's a big weekend, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah.
There's the Preparedness Expo on Saturday.
You have the mm-hmm. NAMI Walk. You have Dover's Harvest Festival. And that's just the tip of the proverbial iceberg on the number of events going on.
And then there's Apple Fest as well. It's a big weekend. You can check those out in the community calendars on KFY.org. There's the hearings on Monday and Tuesday for Trestle Creek, which is kind of an important issue for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I think that I heard that they're scheduled. They're going to be there on Monday and Tuesday. I think that they last time they had such a hearing, they got through most of it on Monday, and Tuesday wasn't such a. I guess I only mentioned that because in case you were thinking of showing up on Tuesday, you might be better off showing up on Monday. Listeners, if you want to, you know, get the action for that. I also caught we've got at least one candidate for statewide office in town. I think Kaylee Peterson is going to be here and is holding a forum on Sunday.
And she's the candidate for our District 1 congressional seat. Facing Fulcher, right? Fulcher.
That's right. Yeah, she's a Democrat, but holding a town hall on Sunday, the 5th at Community Hall, or the 6th at Community Hall Sunday. It is election season. Okay, well, it's now time to continue with Otto's Eclectic Mix. Folks can find the Daily Bee, of course, on newsstands everywhere and online.
Or better yet, subscribe.
Yeah, get one of those cool boxes outside your mailbox. I still have one of those. BonnerCountyDailyBee.com is the website. Eric Welch, Carolyn Lobsinger, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Jack.
Pleasure.
I'm going to play a little local music. Doug Bond and Dennis Coates. Dennis wrote a song called Election Year, which seems appropriate. This is as performed by two local musicians, Doug Bond and Dennis Coates. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY.
Well, it's election year. And-